are in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We're coming now to Calvary, to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And we want to read this passage together from Luke 23 and verse number 32. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. But when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, that we have thy account of what took place at Calvary. We praise thee for this record. It shows us the suffering of the Lord. What he went through as the crowd scoffed and mocked. How even upon the cross he willingly forgave a sinner deserving of hell. We thank thee that our Saviour still forgives sinners when they come in repentance and in faith. And I rejoice that even this day his arms of mercy are opened to those who will flee to him for forgiveness. I ask you, Lord, that you'll be pleased this day to speak to hearts that are not right with thee. Save precious souls, we pray. Be glorified in all that is said tonight in this meeting. And Lord, may there be signs following the preaching of thy precious word. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. For I ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. This evening, I want us to look at the passage that we have read and consider what the Lord Jesus Christ did that day on the cross of Calvary in his dealings with this thief who hung beside him. I want us, first of all, to look at the circumstances surrounding this incident. We notice that this takes place after 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. In that ministry, he compelled men and women, boys and girls, to come to God through him. He preached repentance and faith. He taught them that the Old Testament was being fulfilled as he stood before them. He was the Messiah, the promised of God. That ministry was also accompanied by miracles, proving that he indeed was God. Not only did this prove that he was God, but he lived a sinless, perfect, impeccable life. No one could sincerely or honestly point the finger at the Saviour and say that he was guilty of any wrongdoing. And here we are at Calvary. And Christ came and was born in Bethlehem And that was part of the plan that would find him hanging upon a cross of Calvary. And as we stand this evening on holy ground and we realise that's exactly where we are when we think of Calvary, we see, as we look by the eye of faith upon the cross, a revelation of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to die in the place of sinners. He gave his Son to be the sacrifice. He would shed his blood that would cleanse people from their sin. He gave his Son that we might be brought unto God. We also see the fulfillment of the promises of God. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. We see all those wonderful promises throughout the Old Testament pointing forward to the Messiah, who he was going to be, what type of person he was going to be, and the sacrifice that he was going to make. And here we see Scripture being fulfilled and the promises of God coming to pass, that he would come and he would save his people from their sin. We see here at Calvary the place where our freedom and our peace was won, and that was upon the old cross of Calvary. This was because of a trial of false witnesses, and humanly speaking, that's what happened. Men brought false witnesses against the Lord Jesus Christ, he who was perfect and pure and holy, who only did good toward all. False witnesses came and made accusation against him. And even though these accusations could not be substantiated, decisions were taken by weak men to give Christ over to the will of the people. And yet whenever those weak men took those decisions, we have to say that above all human circumstances, there was the sovereign will of God unfolding. This was God's plan. It was God's will that that day at Calvary, his Son would be crucified. This was the Lord giving his life for sinners. And three men walk to Calvary that day. We find verse number 32 that it says, there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. There were three people crucified that day at Calvary. Crucifixion, of course, was a Roman punishment. It was not something unique to the Lord Jesus Christ, but something that was done on a rather regular basis at that time. And it was a means of punishing people publicly that others might be dissuaded and think twice about committing any crime. We see the condemnation in this particular picture. Now, why the Lord Jesus Christ was condemned? He was condemned because of our sin. He took our sins on his own body upon that tree. However, I want us to look at the thief. The thief that was saved on the cross, because he was under condemnation. He was called a malefactor. And a malefactor means a wrongdoer. The idea of evil, an evildoer, is found in that word. It's from a word which means to be depraved. And he had been tried, and he had been convicted, and he had been sentenced for his sin. And here he was coming to the cross of Calvary, and there was absolutely no escape. They were under the guard of the soldiers, and there was nowhere to run. And the thing I want you to notice about this malefactor, this thief who was going to hang on the cross, was the fact that he had deserved it. He had committed wrong, and he deserved the punishment that he was receiving. As I thought about his condemnation, I think that's a very accurate picture of every single person born into this world. We're all born in sin, and we're all shapen in iniquity. Because we're sinners, we've broken God's holy law, and we are condemned already. God's judgment is coming. God's punishment is coming, and we cannot escape God's judgment or God's punishment. And we deserve it. Now, often people make excuses. They say, well, it's the culture I was brought up in, or the background that I am from, or it's learned behavior. But the Word of God teaches us very clearly that sin is a result of the natural condition of the heart. We know naturally how to sin. And And God never excuses sin. And maybe you've lived your life in sin. Or you've never turned from your sin. You've never repented of your sin. You never asked God for forgiveness of your sin. Well, then you face the judgment and the punishment of God. That punishment is being cast into hell for all eternity. And the word of God shows us that he who does not believe, or she who does not believe, is condemned already. If you're not saved and you're listening to my voice today, you are sitting under the condemnation of the Lord. And you do not know whenever your life will end, or whenever your soul will go into a lost eternity in hell. But I not only see this man's condemnation, I see his carelessness. Because he mocked his only hope. If you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27, Matthew records some details that Luke doesn't. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and verse number 39, it says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking with him and with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." And Matthew is showing us that this thief who was ultimately saved, while he was in the early stages of the crucifixion, he mocked his only hope. He should have been thinking about eternity. He should have been thinking about God. But rather than thinking about eternity and God and where his soul was going to be, he was mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. He mocked moments from eternity. Crucifixion was an act of death. And he was in his final hours. And what foolishness he had in his final hours. He laughed with the crowd and he rejected Christ. And that's the choice he made, to go with the crowd for those moments and reject the Saviour. Maybe I'm speaking to someone who's been careless about their soul. As you could be in your final year, your final month, your final week, your final day. We are not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And therefore, it is essential that you know for sure that you are ready to meet the Lord, that it's well with your soul. And I'm so thankful that this man had a concern as he hung upon the cross. Yes, he was mocking and scoffing at the start of his crucifixion. But as time went on, he looked upon the man in the center tree and realized that this was indeed the Son of God. He was dealing with God. He was dealing here with an innocent man. There was nothing that was wrong or nothing that could be accused of this man. He felt his sin. He felt his guilt and his vileness as he hung beside the spotless Saviour. He said in verse number 41, "We indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." He recognised that he deserved the punishment he was receiving that day. There are wages of sin. And here he was suffering the consequences of his sin, but the Lord has done nothing amiss, nothing out of place, nothing injurious, nothing improper, nothing wicked. He realized that this was a pure and holy person. He was indeed the Son of God. And notice what it says in verse number 42. He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The word "remember" means to bear in mind. And he's saying, "Lord, think upon me. Lord, please think upon me." The fact that he called him Lord And that word means to be supreme in authority. It does effectively mean master or God. And he now has a desire to identify with this man whom he once scorned. He is pleading with his man whom he once spoke against. And now he is calling upon him. Have you ever had concern about your soul? Have you ever realized that you live before God, the one who sees all things, the one who knows all things, the one who will judge you? Have you ever taken time to consider Christ in his beauty and in his holiness and in his perfection? The fact that he is sinless and has borne the sins of his people upon the tree. Have you ever called on the Lord to save you? I want you to look at that call for a few moments. It was a short and a simple call. Time did not permit for him to pray some long prayer. But thankfully he did call out a short and simple cry. The Lord does not inquire or require lengthy treaties. It simply says here in the Bible, and he said unto Jesus. We think of that simplicity in that call. A child can be saved if they will call on the Lord. We think of Peter who called on the Lord as he was sinking in the water. Save me. And the Lord heard and the Lord answered. Have you called on the Lord to save you? Not only was it a short and simple call, it was a sincere call. There was no fiddling around here. Time was ebbing away. This was an important matter. He meant this. He knew that it wasn't long before he was going into eternity. The sand, as it were, was falling through the hourglass. And he needed to be saved now. He knew that this was his final opportunity. And here he comes to the point where he realizes he needs now to be saved. There is not going to be another time. Maybe the Lord's been dealing with your heart in recent days. And you know that right now, today, you need to be saved. You can't keep putting this off. You can't keep hoping on tomorrow, or someday tomorrow will never come. But thank God you can call a short, simple call, a sincere call, and a saving call. Because this call resulted in the Lord hearing this man and saving him. This was a call for salvation. You know what the Bible says? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that call led to his conversion. The Lord Jesus Christ said unto him in verse 43, Verily or truly I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We notice that the Lord said this day, this was immediate. This thief did not have to go through some ritual or some major change of lifestyle, but it was today. It was that very moment. He was justified. He was adopted. He was washed. He was saved. And this impacted his eternity. He was ready for eternity there and then. The moment he called and the Lord forgave him of his sin. This determined how he would die. And you know, if you live as a sinner, you will die as a sinner. But thank God if you call upon the Lord to save you, then you will die saved. You'll die as a Christian. Remember, the decision that you make today will impact your eternity. It will impact your future. I wonder today, are you ready to meet the Lord? It's wonderful to know that we can have a moment of conversion in our lives. There can be that moment when we call upon the Lord for our salvation. And while many people often speak about the thief on the cross and the dying thief and how he was saved and how the Lord so wonderfully and miraculously stepped in and saved him and made him ready for heaven even after that simple life that he led. And that does give us hope. But remember, there was another thief that day. He was hanging on the other side of the Lord Jesus. But we don't hear of his cry. We don't hear of his repentance. We don't hear of his calling on the Lord for help or for salvation. You see, not everybody, even on the deathbed, even on the last moments of life, will turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have a deathbed experience. And it may be that even if you do, you may not even have the desire to receive. That's why the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't put off until tomorrow what can be done today. My final thought is this. There was a great certainty. The Lord Jesus Christ said, thou shalt be with me. You see, these are words of God. These are the promise of God. And the wonderful promise for the child who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Saviour is that we will be with him one day. His Spirit will come and dwell within us. He will never turn away anyone who repents from their sin and trusts in him. And how wonderful that the words of the Lord Jesus are words that we can depend upon. He calls us to come unto him. He calls us to be forgiven and to rest in him. His scripture calls us to turn from our sin and trust in the finished work of Calvary. He is the one who declares these truths. The Son of God and God the Son. You do not need the authority of a preacher or a Christian to be saved, but you do need the authority of God. Only the Lord can truly declare you to be saved and ready to meet him. As I thought about this man, having lived a life of sin, but then coming to faith and remembering and realizing the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of sinners, and calling upon him for salvation, and hearing those words, today you shall be with me in paradise. Do you know, those were not the last words he would hear the Lord speaking to him that day. Because I do believe that he would hear the welcome into heaven. As he died, he was welcomed into glory. As he died, he would hear the strain of the angel choir as he entered into his eternal rest. How will you die? Will you die hearing the sound of the great choirs of glory, the welcome of the Saviour, the joy of meeting with those who've gone before? Or will you die and hear the horrors of the souls that are lost in the darkness of hell forever, realizing that you have no hope of escape? I say to you, you're not saved, that there is one who is ready and willing and able to save. One who died and shed his precious blood that you might be forgiven. He died to make you good, that you might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. Will you call on the Lord to save you right now? Oh, preacher, you don't know the life I've lived. You don't know how bad I've been. I don't need to know. God knows. And still this offer of mercy goes out to all. Come and be saved. Come and trust in the Saviour. And know the joy of sins forgiven today. I'm not asking you, would you like to be a Christian when you die? Or do you hope to be a Christian when you die? I'm asking you, will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ now? Right now where you sit. Will you bow your head and close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be in hell, but I thank you for going to the cross for those who deserved hell, for taking their punishment, for shedding your precious blood that we might be saved. I thank you, Lord, for your offer of salvation and mercy, and I believe that you can save me. Lord, save me right now. Take away my sin and make me a new creature in Christ. You know what will happen? He will save you. He saved you right this very moment, and you can know for sure that it's well with your soul. If you've trusted Christ as your Saviour, will you please let us know? We'd love to send you some literature. We'd love to send you some little booklets that will help you as you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like more help, then please do get in contact via the Facebook page, and certainly if we can do anything to help you, we can. We can't save you, but we certainly can open the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be truly saved. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of preaching the word of God. Thank you, Lord, we've stood at the cross by faith today. And we thank you, Lord, we've seen that great transaction that took place as a dying thief called on the Lord to save him. We thank you, Lord, he's in heaven today. Thank you, Lord, we'll meet him someday and we'll be able to hear that story from his lips of how he called on the Lord for salvation. But Lord, there may be some listening to my voice tonight and they're not saved. Maybe some, Lord, and they're not ready to meet thee. Oh, Lord, their soul is far from thee. And Lord, they are so close to eternity, so close to hell, and they seem to live as if they're going to live forever. Oh, Lord, I pray you'll cause them to be wise and consider their latter end. Cause them to tremble before thee, that they might come and put their faith and trust in the only one who can save sinners. Thank you, Lord, that the blood shed in Calvary that day has the power to cleanse from every sin. And if the sinner will simply cry, Lord, remember me, Lord, save me, they too will be saved. Don't allow some man or woman, boy or girl, to hear how they can be saved and then go on about their life rejecting Christ. Give deciding grace tonight. Give help. Oh, Lord, bring sinners to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen.